Good morning, one and all. It's nice to see all of you together. We can worship the Lord in this sanctuary. And we are glad to see some visitors today also. As you know that last month, I talked about the faith of Abraham. Based on the text of Hebrews chapter 11, and we see that when God called Abraham to leave his country, his city, into a foreign land. And I described about the place where Abraham stayed was a very advanced city. It's the first world. It's not the third world. And when God called him to leave, and he left, he obeyed the Lord. Today, I'm going to talk about his trials. And this is the greatest trials in the life of Abraham. Many of you have heard about this story of Abraham, familiar to many of the Sunday school children. But I believe that there are many things that we can learn from the Word of God. And the passage that I'm going to speak is found actually in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, and also chapter 11, verse 17 to 19, because it's too many, I selected just a few, and concerning about, I will dwell on these topics. Now, we all know that God has promised Abraham a son, and he waited and waited. When Abraham was 99 years old, God told him to change Sarai's name to Sarah. And the reason being, she was going to have a son, and she would become the mother of many nations. Abraham fell downfaced and laughed. You know why? From human point of view, this is impossible. He was old, 99 years old. Have you seen of a man 99 years old having a child? Or especially Sarah, an old lady having a child. And so he said to himself, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? That is 99 when God called him. And when he had a child, he's 100 years old, okay? And Sarah, that is 90 years old, bare. Of course, Abraham had early heard of that promise of God, and he believed that he would have an heir, an innumerable offspring. He had heard that message many years ago. Waited and waited. There was no news, no sign of having a son, a child. But now, to hear that they would be having an heir or a son next year, he could not help laughing. He believed the word of God with all his heart. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11 had made this faith of Abraham very clear. He says, through faith, and also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and delivered a child when he was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now Sarah, listening at the door of their tent, overheard three mysterious guests, that's the angels, told Abraham the same news. She also laughed. God also specified that the baby boy would be called Isaac. See, not only a child, not only a boy, but the name was also mentioned. When Isaac was born, Sarah said, God had made me to laugh, so that all that hear would laugh with me. Why? Well, she had passed the age of childbearing and had given birth to her first child. And she laughed. Abraham also laughed. And in the end, the laughter filled all the tents. I believe Isaac was well taken care of and greatly loved by the old couple. The boy was everything to them, and they were so proud of their son Isaac. And now came the test. One day, God wanted to test the faith of Abraham. And this is found in Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. Maybe we'll read together these two verses. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. Okay, ready, go. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and say unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one mountain which I will tell thee of. Everything was very specific here. God wants Isaac, not Ishmael. And God stressed very, very clear that the son that he loves most, Isaac, beloved son. God was calling Abraham to sacrifice his beloved son. That is, he was to put Isaac to death with his own hand and then incinerate the remains as a burnt offering to God. Now, this is something I want you all to know. This divine command was contrary to everything God had promised to Abraham. Everything. It's a contrary to everything that God had promised to Abraham. God has given to him a son, and now he wanted to take him away from Abraham. God had promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. But how could that be fulfilled without his son Isaac? Abraham could not understand. Then this commandment was also contrary to everything in Abraham, especially his common sense. His common sense. His natural affections for Isaac and his lifelong dreams. Think about it. How could a loving father put to death his beloved son with his own hand? It's totally impossible. I believe so. If God asks you to do, will you do it? It's very, very difficult. It is impossible for a loving father to do such a thing, especially to the son that you love most. Am I right? It's contrary to the common sense, contrary to the love of Abraham. Now, apart from this, it was also totally impossible to understand why God gave such a command. You know why? It was against his divine nature to accept human sacrifice. God actually condemned human sacrifice. And now, Abraham, do it. I want Isaac. How do I know that God condemned human sacrifice? You turn to Leviticus chapter 18, verse 21, and chapter 20, verse 2 to 5. God used Moses to tell the children of Israel concerning human sacrifice. He condemned it. Those who do it will be condemned to death. You see, God totally hates human sacrifice. And now he said, do. Abraham, sacrifice that for me. Well, sometimes when God calls a person, it may not sound right in the human mind. You do not know. Abraham do not know all these things. Of course we know. because it already passed, we know. And the reason was given in the Bible is that God is going to test him, tempt him. We know because the Bible tells us so. And it is a past history. To Abraham, it did not make sense at all. The command was totally contrary to his understanding, and he did not know what was going on. And he did not know why God asked him to sacrifice Isaac. He did not know all these things. But the interesting part, the important part is this. Abraham obeyed. God said, do this, and he obeyed. So, at the early dawn, without a word to his wife, Abraham, with his two servants and Isaac, prepared everything that was needed and began the 3 days' journey to Moriah. Finally, seeing the mountain in a distance, he instructed his servant to stay with the donkey, and he said that he and Isaac would worship the Lord and would return, would be coming back. This is found in Genesis chapter 22, verses 3 to 5. So you see, by faith, he believed Isaac would be well. He would return. But he did not know how, but he believed that it would be well. Then Abraham and Isaac began their journey and to the appointed place. On the way, Isaac spoke to his father Abraham. You look at verse 7. Alright, we read verse 7, 22 verse 7. Ready, go. My father, he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And then Abraham declared his faith in God. In verse 8, let's read together. My son, God will provide a lamb for the burnt offering. That's how he think that God will provide. He believed that God will provide. He did not know how. See, that is faith. You cannot calculate, sometimes you cannot understand. But when you trust the Lord, you will do it. Abraham had absolute trust and faith in God. Though he did not know how God will provide and what he would do. He did not know all these things. He left everything to God and let him do the work in his own way at his own time. That is what Abraham did. He said God himself will provide a lamb. Now in a quick order, Abraham built an altar, arranged the wood, bound the beloved son Isaac, holds him up on the wood, and then took out his knife to perform the sacrifice. And we know in a split second the sacrifice would be done. How old was Abraham? How old was Isaac? You know how old? There are many people who guess. Some say about 10 years old or maybe more. But many of them say at this time, Isaac was about 20 plus to 30 plus. All right. Campbell Morgan said that. You know who is Campbell Morgan? One of the prince preacher in England last time, during the time of after Charles Spurgeon, said that he was 33 years old. But there are other people say 20 over. However, we know one thing. Isaac was old enough to rebel, to fight, to run, to escape. Will you escape when someone tried to kill you? To offer you a sacrifice? Of course you'll react. Initially, you may submit, but when the real time thing comes, you will try to run. That's very natural. But we see Isaac submit. He believed what his father said is true. And as the father going to sacrifice him, what happened? Alright, you read again, verse 11 verse 12 together. Okay, ready, go. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything upon him. For thou know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. See the emphasis, thy son, thy only son, from me. Well, this is a most wonderful message to Isaac and Abraham. And, alright, verse 13. Alright, we read together, verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thickets by his horn. And Abraham went and took the lamb and caught him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Oh, this is the most joyous sacrifice they ever experienced. As the flame consumed the ram, I believe Abraham and Isaac offered his heart to God. Now the burnt offering declared to God, All we have and all we are, O God, are upon the altar. We surrender our all to thee and use them for your glory. That's the meaning of sacrifice. Give all to the Lord. And verse 14, we know, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mouth of the Lord it shall be seen. Abraham initially was ambiguous when he said to Isaac, God will provide. Now his dream became a reality. The Lord really provided a lamb for the offering exactly at his time, according to his time. We see that God who tests is also the God who provides. The tester is also a provider. When God tests you, or when God tests me, or tests anyone, he will provide for that. Provide for that person a way of escape according to the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And we see this very clearly, this truth very clearly in the life of Job. Job chapter 1 tells us about the trial of Job. If you know the life of Job, you know how hard the trials was. It was so heavy. It took away all his children. It took away all his property. And that was not the end. In chapter 1 tells us that he suffered physically from the sores of his body. And that was not the end. If you go on through the book, you know that the three friends came to comfort Job. Instead of comforting him, they tried to reason with him. They thought that Job must have done something evil. Therefore, such thing happens to him. It's not really a comfort. It's not really comfort. They've gone through a lot of suffering. And even his wife asked him to curse God and die. What kind of God do you believe? Oh, Job stood firm. He stood firm. And at the end of the chapter of Job, chapter 42, verse 12, God spoke. The Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. God really blessed Job with bountiful blessings after the test. So the tester is also the provider. What kind of test that the Lord has given to you, I do not know. But if the Lord really tests you, he will provide a way of. And I believe that the church at Calvary is going through a trial, a testing, to build a church of 15 million. by their own strength, impossible. I know, that's my church. I pastored them for many, many years. Impossible. But the need was there. I know that it is the will of God because God has sent me to that place to do the work, to Dr. Toh also and the group there to start the work. And it was flourishing. And now in the end, what happened? There's a call. Must build a new church. Will God forsake his people? My answer, no. God will continue his work. And many of the members also believe so. They stay put. Trust the Lord for every support. They never go and raise funds, ask people to help. Never have fanfare, marathon or whatever it is. No. Pray, encourage the member to trust the Lord. And I believe that the Lord will lead them through. It's for us to see. Not happen yet. Next year, the building will be completed. You know, when you start a project like this, journey of no return. Building you already pulled down, everything pulled down, you already committed yourself. Even if you don't want also, you will find. The contractor, a lot of things will come to you. You will collapse, the whole church will collapse. Great faith. It needs faith to take that kind of step. But if that comes to you, will you take it? You see, there are many people who have gone through that kind of test. And the Lord provide them a way of escape. So my friend, this is by way of encouragement and illustration of what is faith, testing of faith. Now, the Lord who tests is also the Lord who provides. And that is what we need to know about our God. That's why I say all these things to you. God will not leave you in the lurch. God will open the way when the time comes to Abraham at the split second. Right? So I do not know when the Lord will open the way, but the Bible says that God will give us a way to escape. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. As we go through the trial of faith, we believe he will provide. He also has and he will provide for every believer. So my friend, when we are called to give our Isaac, alright? In other words, those things that are so precious to us, like Isaac was so precious to Abraham, we need to know and understand when we do it, God will provide. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. That's what Abraham called. Now, I'm coming to this part, very important, concerning the ground, the basis of Abraham's faith. What makes Abraham a man of great faith? What is that? Based on Hebrews chapter 11, I'm talking about focus on the subject on faith. First of all, Abraham believed in the true and living God. He believed that God was the creator of the universe. He believed that. He created the world by the word of his command, according to the context of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews 11, verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that things that which are seen were not made of things which do not see. Do you believe that? Abraham believed that. And I believe that. Abraham believed in the creative power of God. He knew and believed that God will bring forth the living out of nothing. The moment God commanded him to sacrifice his beloved son Isaac was as good as dead. Sacrifice means must kill. Isaac was as good as dead. But God was able, Abraham believed that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Did God have this power?
Of course he had.
He believed that if God can create the world with the word, with the of his command, he can do all these things, no problem to him. No problem at all.
So Abraham, believing in the true and living God, and he has the power to do so.
Secondly, he believed that God exists and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, if we keep on seeking God, God will reward us. God will not put you aside. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. You all know this verse very well, right? You know this verse? Of course you know. Let's just repeat this verse. Then I'm going to show you where it comes in. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now his faith was characterized with the heart of putting God first above all other things. So when God called him to sacrifice Isaac, he acted without any hesitation. No hesitation. Don't say, God, let me think first. Let me do this, let me do that first. No. Without hesitation. He did not even discuss with Sarah. He sought those things that are above. When God said this, it must be right, although he could not understand. What an astounding faith. No wonder he is the father of all who believe. No wonder he is called a friend of God. Some of us may think that this is far beyond us. How could we reach such a great height of faith? And Abraham is one of his kind, very unique. You cannot find any other person like that. Men like him only come along one in a million. Some people may say that. But my friend, we must understand that Abraham's great faith did not begin with the offering of Isaac. His faith can be seen when he stepped out of his country and began his journey. Right? That's the first thing. He started out. It was a great faith to believe God's promise, and he and Sarah could be parents when they both beyond the age of childbearing. So this is the second time he exercised his faith. But we must also remember that Abraham has his weakness, has his weaknesses in the faith. Where can we find that? He told a lie in order to save his life, his own life, by saying Sarah was his sister on two occasions. Although it was right, sister, right, but more than a sister now. They're married, so become wife. He told a lie. That was weakness. That was not right for him to say that. Secondly, he and Sarah took the matter into his own hand to have an heir as promised by God and use Hagar to become the mother of Ishmael. God did not ask him to do that, but he did that. That is his weakness again. So we must understand that it was through ups and downs that Abraham grew in his faith and became a great man of faith. He did not just keep on climbing up. He goes up, he comes down, he goes up, and he comes down. And the example of Abraham is a good example for us to follow. Two things that Abraham showed in his faith. First of all, his belief. And second, his obedience. These are the two main things. He believed that God exists. In fact, God appeared to him on various occasions, in various places. at Ur of the Chaldees, at Haran, at Shechem, at Bethel, and even in Egypt, wherever he goes, God communicated with him. God was with him. He had a good relationship with God, and he was able to talk to God like a person talking to his friend. Why do I say that? You remember there were three visitors came to visit him, and these three visitors revealed to him that God is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of sin. Right? And what did Abraham do? Abraham talked to the three persons like a friend. Bargain, no? How about you there? 50, how about 40, how about 30, 20? You don't talk to God like that, do you? You talk to people, to friends in that way. So you see, the relationship between God and Abraham was so close. And God bless him. God bless him. He believed God's word never failed. He believed that God's word must be obeyed at all costs, to the extent of giving up the thing or the person he loves most, if God so required of it or of him. What is Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first. Put God first. And God said, God, I want this, I want. God said, I want, I like to have this, I like to have that. We give him first. I want your time to come worship, better come and worship. I want you to help in this area, help. See, God knows how to direct the person to do his work. And sometimes God wants something that is very precious from you. You have a very beloved a son, just only a son. And God said, I want your son to be in the full-time service. Say, no, 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 God, take my daughter better. Because my son is a very promising one. Maybe going to be a doctor. You give God those that are not the best. But to Abraham, I want the one, the best that you love. But if God speak that to you, will you give? You see, that is called obedience. When you are clear with the word of God, God know that this is God calling, God saying, obey. And God will lead you, God will bless you each step of the way. You may not see the whole picture at all, at one shot, but step by step you can see. And this is not just only to Abraham, but to many people who have given up their life. They can see it. And it may happen to any one of you at any time. I do not know. So in this case, we see that God requires not only Isaac. God wants each was the sacrifice of Isaac, even if it did not seem to be reasonable or right in his mind. Sometimes God may request something seem to be unreasonable, not right. And in this case, it's against theology, against his nature, against theology. But Abraham believed. When God asks you to do something, do without hesitation. He believed that God will provide a lamb, but he did not know how he would do it. He believed that Isaac would return. And that was his faith in God. Did you see that? His faith in God. So my friend, in conclusion, do you believe in the existence of God? Do you believe his word to you as recorded in the Bible, all the promises of God? Do you believe that? My friend, faith and obedience go together. Goes together. And especially, it has to do with our relationship with God. Abraham would never have been obeyed God's call if he had not truly believed in God. Abraham would not believe God's call if he did not take God at his word. As soon as Abraham understood God's command, he obeyed and began his life journey of faith. He fully trusted God who had called him. My friend, the question to ask is this. Well, I know many of you believe in God, you trust God, you believe what the Bible says, but when God asks you to do something, will you obey? Will you obey? James says, faith without work is dead. What kind of faith do you have? May God help each one of us. As we live for Him, let us also be obedient to what He wants us to do.